It's good to see all of you again this evening. We have some visitors and we're grateful for your presence. I encourage you to come back at every opportunity you have to be with us here at the Eastside Congregation. We had a good number this morning. I think the board says 62, so that's good. We could stand a few more, but we'll take 62 for right now. The Psalms are good places to study. And Psalm 71, beginning in verse 17, says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. The psalmist here is exemplifying faith in God. If you'll notice, in two verses here, he talks about having faith in God while being young and faith in God when he's in his old age. And notice, in verse 18, he talks about that when he's old and gray-headed, not to forsake him because he feels like he still has work to do. Until I declare your strength to this generation. Everyone still has work to do, even if we're young or old or still young at heart. We all have work to do. And from this psalm here, we're going to try to address a few lessons about God teaching us from our youth to our old age and how he provides care for us from youth to old age. And talk about some of the duties that we have both as young people and as those not so young. So the first thing we want to notice is that God's care covers us basically from our youth to old age. It's not like insurance where you have to modify it the older you get because of health concerns and things of this nature. It may go up or it may go down or whatever the case may be. God's care never changes. It doesn't matter if you're a babe in Christ or if you've come to full age in Christ or whatever the measure may be. Our refuge is God in every stage of our life. Every stage. And it doesn't matter if it's the dark clouds hanging over our life or the bright sunshine. God still provides refuge for us. When temptations come, it's God that we turn to. When those dark clouds come, it's God that we turn to. And it doesn't matter, like I say, if you're young or old, God is there for our refuge. We go back to the Psalms, and again in Psalm 71, beginning in verse 5, the psalmist says, For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. But you I have been upheld. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually to you. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. God doesn't. God doesn't cast us off because we feel that we've reached a limit in our life. God still uses everyone. The young can encourage the old, and the old can encourage the young. You know, I love the song, Room in the Kingdom. And I keep bringing this up over and over again because there's a verse in there that says, For the small things that you can do. And the older we get, sometimes we think, well, I can't do this. Man, I'll testify to that. I can't do the things that I used to do. And when I do things today, I have to be careful. Because I'm not, as they say, and I hate to admit it, I'm not as young as I used to be. But we all get this mentality that the older I get, the less I can do. Sometimes I'm afraid that Christians have a worldly view about getting old. When we go through and we work a public or secular job, a factory job, or whatever the case may be, we reach a certain age where the government says, well, congratulations, you have reached the age of retirement. Go home, take your ease. And I hear of people. I have worked with people that in factory work that they reach and they work hard to get to that point where they can retire. You ask them, what are you going to do? I'm going to go home. I'm going to sit on the front porch and drink my coffee, watch the sun come up and watch the sun go down. You know what never fails? They don't have any other plans but that, and they die. They die. But as a child of God, there is no retirement age. You never reach a certain age where God says, okay, just go to church and sit there and don't do anything because you've reached my retirement age. The only retirement age we have is when we're in the casket waiting to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because the young people, let me give you a bit of advice. Go to the older people. Sit and listen to them. Some of the best lessons that I have ever learned is sitting at the feet of the older people. Older preachers, for example. There is a meal list for Brother Peeling. I'm not saying he's an older preacher. But anytime you can have a preacher for a casual meal to sit and talk, there are lessons that can be learned. Some of them may be funny lessons. Some of them may be serious lessons. But we never reach a point in our spiritual life where we can sit down and say, I'm done. Because God still provides for us and He expects us to work. But what we see here in what the psalmist is talking about is there are times in our life when we face weakness and God is our refuge. There are times in our life when we may feel vulnerable and God is our refuge. He is who we turn to. And there's a lot of dangers in this old world, aren't there? And God is our refuge. In Psalm 71, we continue on. He says, "But in verse 14, but I will hope continually and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness and of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth to this day, I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." Let me tell you, the older you get, the more you want to turn to God for comfort and strength. I preached a sermon one time about remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and in doing that sermon, preparing for it, I looked at the obituary column. And then when I looked at it, I began to look at stories of young people who, in a sense, thought they were going to live forever. And how foolishly they get out and live their lives, risking life and limb to have enjoyment on a motorcycle that would go 100 miles an hour. And it does, but it stops abruptly sometime and there's nothing there to protect you. The older I get, sometimes the younger they are that are in the obituary column. Now I'm saying that used to, if I saw somebody that was 60 years old, I thought, man, they were old. Now that's not old anymore. But what bothers me even more is to see somebody in their 30s or 40s that have died, and I wonder, did they know the Lord? Did they know the Lord? You see, even in my older age, I find comfort in God and His Word. There is a great need for God and a great confidence in God, even in old age, so that we don't lose that trust that we have in Him. And there are lessons to be learned by living a life of faith. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers, Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Fret and frustration and anger, they defeat righteousness and promote evil desires and passion. And what the psalmist is telling us here is that we've got to put our trust in God. He goes on in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." There's a lesson from the old. "I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good. Dwell forevermore." We need to defeat wickedness in this world. And when the righteous seem to falter and to be defeated, it is only a temporary thing, because deliverance by God is certain. It's going to happen. And the righteous bear fruit, even in old age. The psalmist talks in Psalm 92, verses 4 through 9, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is they that be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered." God shows us here that He defeats the wicked, those who seem in our lifetime to prosper. Psalm 92 talks about that God makes the righteous fruitful even in old age. So I don't need to get down on myself because I'm older and more feeble. I can't do what I used to do, because God still has use for me. God's care begins at conception and continues with us through the point of death. In Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, the psalmist says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." We need to trust that God knows what He's doing. We need to trust that God knows us from the very moment that we are conceived. That's a good argument there in that particular passage for abortion. That you're just a blob of cells. And the psalmist who came along before this abortion issue says that you knew me from the time that I was conceived. You're not a blob of cells. The Ecclesiastes writer, the great preacher, says in chapter 11, verse 9 through chapter 12 and verse 7, that we need to trust God always from our youth to the moment of death. Remember, he tells us there in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. There's coming a day that we're not going to be young anymore. T.B. Larimore, in a sermon in the 1900s in Nashville, said that from the time we're born, that our heart is a beating drum leading us to the grave. And when you think about that, there's a lot of truth in that. From the time you take that first breath in this old world, your heart is beating, leading you to the grave. And God knew us from the time that we were conceived. So we see that God has care for us both in our young age and our old age. But there are duties that we all have, both young and old. We have duties that we have that we are to love, reverence, and obey God. Again, the Ecclesiastes writer says in chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Remember, he's written this whole book about searching for the meaning of life. And he comes to the conclusion that it's all vanity. You're not going to find the meaning of life in stuff in this world. He had every opportunity to find it in every corner of this world. But he says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. He says that's the conclusion that I've come to in my search. Vanity of vanities, he says throughout the book repeatedly. But our whole goal in life, our main duty, our main focus being a child of God, whether young or old, is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's our very purpose of life. Our other duty would be to obey the gospel, to begin a new life. Paul would tell us in Romans chapter 6 about baptism, that we are to submit to Christ in that baptism. We are to worship God as we're doing right now. The psalmist would tell us in Psalm 148 that people of all ages are to come together to worship God. John chapter 4. Jesus there speaking with the woman at the well in verses 23 and 24 said that God seeks us in our worship. We are to worship him in spirit and in truth, verse 24. We are to fulfill our duties of family life. Paul would write about the family role that we have. All have a role in the family in Colossians 3, 18 through 21. And then we're to help each other to serve God. Paul writes about this in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, that the old have a responsibility to teach the young. The older women have the responsibility to teach the young mothers how to love their husbands, how to love their children. You know, I've always found that fascinating. Because if you look at the animal kingdom, that mother, when she has that child, will defend that baby. And you look at our society, and Paul tells Titus to tell the older women how to teach the younger women to love their children. That we have to be taught some of the what I consider should be some of the basic things in life. Love your children. Paul says, teach them. Teach them how to love. And what I see here in Paul's encouragement and instructions is that the both young and old have to cooperate. Have to cooperate. So we've seen that God's care covers us from our youth to our old age. He is our refuge. And we've seen here that both young and old have duties to God. But there are stages of physical and spiritual life that all of us are going to go through. When we're young, we have that intense hunger to learn and to grow. At least we should. And Peter speaks in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that we need to be like that baby that's craving that milk, that bottle. Now, I don't know how long it's been since you've taken a baby that was hungry and you hold that bottle up to that mouth, and when they know that milk is coming, it's like you can't get it there fast enough. When you take that bottle and you put it in their mouth and it's like, oh, I've been waiting all day for this. An intense hunger to learn and to grow. And that's how Peter describes how we should react to the Word of God. We need to grow from our infancy, a babe in Christ, to being fully mature. And that's what the Hebrew writer, whom we assume is Paul, spoke of in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, that we need to be moving on, progressing, maturing, as it were, spiritually, from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. And that means we have to study. You're not going to mature and grow spiritually without study, without meditating on the Word of God, without using the Word of God as a lamp before your feet. And then as we grow, we're going to see that there are blessings at every stage of life. The older I get, the more those become visible to me, more recognizable. I used to, as a young man, look up to the older people. And now I hope that I'm living my life so that I have younger people looking up to me. That's my hope anyway. I hope that I'm living that type of spiritual life to where I can be the example that older people were for me when I was young. That ought to be our goal for every person. John would write in 1 John 2 and verse 14 that the young man ought to manifest strength and zeal, that excitement to serve the Lord. And fathers ought to manifest stability and leadership, not only in the home, but in the church as well. The older men should be the pillar and ground of the church in the local sense. They ought to be what helps hold everything together. And it's a sad state when older men reject that job. But we need to have older men that can help guide the younger men on how to be the leaders of the church tomorrow. And there ought to be a high degree of respect for maturity, people that are willing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But Peter talks in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, that we need to have respect for the elders and for the aged. Now, sometimes we look at that and talk about that's the elders of the church, but I don't know if it completely talks about that. It certainly could apply, but I think it talks about those who are elderly and those who are aged in the church, in the local church, that they deserve our respect because they've reached that level of maturity. And finally, we need to finish our course. Every one of us will finish our course someday. And we need to finish our course by being faithful, remaining faithful in God. Finish our life faithfully and pass the truth on to the next generation. That's what the psalmist said at the beginning of the lesson, remember? Paul would write to young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. In verses 1 through 8, and talk about that he was facing death and trusting in God. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't despondent. He wasn't terrified of what the next phase in his life was going to be like. I've spoken to some of you, and I've spoken to other people who are in the last stage of life, if you will, in the late stages of life. And some of you are not afraid of what's about to happen in the next few years. That's commendable. That's commendable. Because when you think about other people older in life, in the last stages of life, who are about to finish their course and they're terrified of what may be, that's sad. Because they either don't have God or don't have the faith in God that they need. And that's what our point is. Finish our course by having faith in God. Complete, unwavering faith in God. A faith where we're not afraid of what happens next. A faith where we know that if we have lived our life according to God's plan, His pattern, we know that heaven will be our home. We have that confidence in our life. Paul writes in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, and the lesson will be yours after we read this. He says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Young or old, it doesn't matter. Now is the time. Now is the time to become a child of God, to put Christ on in baptism. Now is the time, young or old, to submit to Christ, to receive the blessings that have been promised to those who faithfully obey, to receive forgiveness of sins, to have our sins washed away and to be remembered no more. Now is the time. It doesn't matter what stage you are at in life. God has made provisions to care for everyone. God provides. What we have to do is have faith. Regardless of whether we're young, middle-aged, going through midlife crises, or old age in the last days of our life, have faith in God. Knowing that He's going to provide. Knowing that He's going to be our refuge, our stronghold that we can turn to. Now is the time. If you're here and you've never put Christ on in baptism, now is the time to do so, so that you can have the blessings, the hopes that He's provided, that strength, that refuge that He promised to be. Now is the time that if you've done that and you've gone back into the world, this is the time. Now is the time to repent of things that may separate you from God so that you can continue to have that refuge, that strength that He's promised.